Very famous question. Why eat a pomegranate on Rosh Hashanah? So the answer to that question is obviously because we consume various foods on Rosh Hashanah as not really enablers of what we daven for that may violate Lo Tinachashu, that may violate the Isser of omens, signs, and other types of foreshadowing events. It's to create an ambience, to create an environment, to serve as a visual stimulant for our own tefillos, the apple and the honey, the carrots, because of either in Yiddish or in Hebrew, because it suggests multiplying, the head of a fish or the head of an animal, the dates, and one of them is the rimon. And based on a very famous Gemara, that a rimon has numerous mitzvos, similar, not exactly similar, but certainly similar in theory and structure to the number 613. So it's a way to stimulate or to help visualize our commitment to 613 mitzvos and our davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enable us a year of life to fulfill those mitzvos. And those are obviously all legitimate answers and legitimate reasons. Probably another reason which people should be aware of, based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kifalach HaRimon Rakaseich, your forehead is like the peel of a rimon. And based on this, the Gemara says that even Rishayim, who may represent the peel of a pomegranate rather than the actual seeds and fruit, even they are favorable, even they are virtuous, and they have mitzvos, maybe not the same 613 as a rimon, but they serve as a peel, so to speak, or an affiliate of the rimon. For anyone that lives in Israel, there's a more obvious answer. The last fruit to ripen, and certainly the last of the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, is the rimon. And all you have to do is walk out of your front door and look at a pomegranate tree, and you'll realize that right around now, most of the successful trees are yielding their fruit. The earliest to ripen and mature are the crops. I'm talking about earliest, the mainstream fruits and vegetables that most of us are aware of. Obviously, there are specialty fruits and vegetables that ripen earlier. But certainly vegetables are more year-round, but with the fruits and grains that are more seasonal, so the barley and the wheat ripen earliest, which is why the early part of the harvest season is marked by the two korbanos. The first one, the Minchas HaOmer, which constitutes barley, and the second korban, the Shtei Alechem, which is comprised of wheat. And throughout the summer, various fruits start to ripen. The second to last fruit are the grapes. They ripen August, early September. And the last fruit to ripen is the pomegranate, September, mid-September, late September. So essentially, we consume a fruit that corresponds to the conclusion of the harvest season. So why is that important? Especially given the fact that typically, the three Yom Tovim, Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos, do appear to be tethered to agricultural milestones. And these agricultural elements are very latent in the agricultural names, whether they are Chag HaKatzir, Chag HaAsif, and even in Parshas Re'eh, the third listing, the third major listing of the Moedim, so there's a very agriculturally based description of the three Yom Tovim. But Rosh Hashanah, and by that extension Yom Kippur, seem to be transcendent, beyond time, unrelated to agriculture. So the truth is, Chazal already sensed an agricultural association between Rosh Hashanah and the agricultural condition in Eretz Yisrael. B'chodesh HaShvi'i, Chazal tell us, Chodesh Shehu Mesuba, a month that is satiated, saturated. And what is this month saturated with? B'chodesh HaShvi'i. So first of all, it's obviously saturated with mitzvos. And that's one definition of Chazal. Mesuba b'mitzvos. Shofar, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Lulav. But a second description of its saturation is that it's saturated with crops. Granos b'socho, gitos b'socho, komine migadim. Everything is ripening. The fruits are readily available. They are fully mature. They ooze with the devash of Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Okay, so it's probably a good time to have Yom Tovim and a good time to celebrate the beginning of the new year when everything is at its juiciest and choicest and most ripe. But it's not just because everything is ripe and available for festive, sumptuous feasts. But it's ripe because the end of the agricultural season, the end of the harvest season has been reached, and everything is now fully available. And now's the time to be liberated from agricultural work and turn our attention to Avodas Hashem. So, Rabbi Levi, one of the masters of Medrash, would write, or would say, Kol Yemos Hashanah, Yisrael Asukin Bemelachtam. Legitimately busy, tending to the fields, earning their money, their keep. Uver Rosh Hashanah, Notlin Shofaros V'tokin. Yet on Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is seized. The shofar is seized, and one of the symbols of the shofar is actually a voice of liberation. Shofar liberates humanity. Tkab shofar gadol l'chayruseinu. One day, one of the psukim we quote in Rosh Hashanah, we look forward to that historical shofar liberating humanity from its fallen world into the utopian world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. Shofar liberates slaves on Yovel. Taviru shofar b'chol artzichem ukrasim deror baritz l'chol yoshveh. Famous inscription on the United States Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty throughout the land. It liberates slaves, liberates people who are suppressed and persecuted. It has a very literal liberating influence in the field because in ancient times there was no way to call people from large swaths and large patches of land in which they were working. They didn't have internet, they didn't have large whistles or signals, so they would blow a shofar and that sound would call people literally back from the field, freeing them from their day of work and allowing them the time to recover and to recuperate. So ironically, Rosh Hashanah is a moment of personal liberation. Pesach is a moment of national liberation. Rosh Hashanah is the holiday of personal liberation, and it occurs at the end of the agricultural season, during the Chodesh Mesubah, the month that is saturated with all the ripening fruits, not just enabling festive meals, but also enabling a period, because the planting season will begin in Cheshvan, plowing, planting, seeding. So it's a month respite for spiritual pursuits and spiritual discovery. And that turning away or transition to be liberated from the arduous work, the difficult work of the field, to turn our attention internally, that's heralded by the sound of the shofar. Tka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu. And part of the theme of Rosh Hashanah as a day of liberty and liberation, Chazal tell us that Yosef HaTzadik was liberated from jail, was freed, was emancipated on Rosh Hashanah, based on the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Pei Aleph, Eidus b'Yosef Samo b'Tzeiso al Eretz Mitzrayim Sfas le'edati eshma se'osei misevel shichmo, was removed from the shoulder-breaking labor. This pasuk, of course, follows the previous pasuk, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, which is typically a pasuk associated with Rosh Hashanah, the kesa, the hidden elements of Rosh Hashanah, as well as the phonetic association with Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne. So it's important for people on Rosh Hashanah to consider how they want to be liberated. Want to be liberated, obviously, from overindulgence in a world of material, reminding ourselves of the eternity of a spiritual world. Want to be liberated from sin. Sin has a suppressive, subjugating influence. We describe tshuva in part as redemption, v'hu yifdas Yisrael mekol avot nosav. Want to be liberated from stagnancy, even those of us who aren't embedded in sin. Sometimes we feel like we're marching in place. Want to be liberated from those elements, social elements, existential elements, which limit or cap the type of growth, the type of unrestrained, courageous growth that we hope that Rosh Hashanah will enable or catalyze. So it is a question about the Rimon that has elicited many different responses, but anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael realizes that at least at a base level, it reminds us that we are now consuming the final aspect, of the final item of the previous year's crop. We're thereby closing that chapter, turning our attention to existential matters and to eternal matters, being liberated by the sound of the shofar. Yeshiva v'chasima tovah.